So the color and safety has no relationship. You may see a bright red smiling steak or a ground beef patty, but that can be contaminated with a highly pathogenic E. coli or Listeria.
Welcome to MeatsPat, a platform to share breakthrough knowledge that is accessible to the entire meat industry. Be ready to hear from meat specialists who will talk about numerous topics in meat science, including animal welfare, meat production, meat quality, and so much more.
This podcast is brought to you by the Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network, the National Provisioner, and Ultrasource, the new standard for innovation.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the MeatsPat podcast. My name is Francisco Nahara. I'm your host today. We have a very special guest on this episode. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Ranish Ramanathan. He is an associate professor at Oklahoma State University in the Department of Animal and Food Science. Thank you again for accepting the invitation to be on this podcast. How are you, Dr. Ram?
Good. How are you, Francisco? Again, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a great initiative. I'm sure this will help a lot of people to know some of the basic things we do in industry and academia.
Thank you, Dr. Ram, for your kind words. We're really looking forward to this conversation today. Well, before we start this conversation, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally from India, southern part of India, a lot of ocean, a lot of fish. I did my bachelor's in veterinary and animal sciences. So after my graduation, I got a really good opportunity to work in as a meat scientist in my college. So that's my first exposure to the world of meat science. So that's time I really learned about the slaughtering process, packaging, quality. Then I realized, wow, it's really interesting area. Then I contacted faculty at University of Connecticut. I did my master's, PhD. Then I got a job after my graduation. Now I'm an associate professor at Oklahoma State University, doing teaching and research in meat science and food science.
Thank you, Dr. Ram, for sharing that. We reached out to you because we had some comments from our audience in terms of Chef Live and how that relates to meat color. I know some fellow meat scientists and meat professionals out there, we call it, or we refer to as Color Live for Color Chef Live. But I guess those are not the same thing as Chef Live, looking at it from the microbiology standpoint. But I know you do a lot of research in this area. So tell us a little bit about meat color and why is meat color important?
Sure, Francisco. That's a great question. Again, depending upon where you live, especially in India, shelf life, that's a concept not much people really worry in a meat science world. Because the system is different. They prefer to buy meat as quickly as possible after slaughter. Whereas in developed countries or US, you can kill the animal, you process it, you package it, and you sell in a retail store. So shelf life, from the name itself, how long it becomes to really good quality, safe, so that way consumers can eat. There are multiple parts with the shelf life. Predominantly, shelf life is more about safety. Is it safe to eat within a specific period of time? Second one, quality-wise. For example, if you buy chips, when you buy chips every time, you expect the same quality. If you see a less quality, you probably won't buy it. The same thing with the meat too. So that's why most companies put a label how long it stay. Really good, mainly with the quality, with the shelf life. So meat, again, how you buy it. If you buy it immediately after slaughter, you don't worry about the color part because it is red in color. One thing you really care about is how tender is. If you buy a really hard or really chewy, you probably won't buy it. And also Other aspect of the meat is a flavor. Some people like really good flavor. So sometimes when you bite, you get a really good flavored meat. Sometimes you probably won't. So if I summarize, those are the aspects that take into consideration when you talk about shelf life. Especially in the US, the most important factor, also in Canada, the color. Because when you go to a store, they pack in a package, you will see a bright red color. So a lot of people think if you see a bright red color, that's the best meat. I'm sure Francisco may ask a question later why it is red in color. But it's purely a protein. A protein, it's something that everyone heard about protein fat. So that one type of protein that gives red color. So shelf life, it talks about how long it have a really consistent quality when you buy from a store.
Thank you, Dr. Ram, for sharing that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the chemistry of meat color. I guess we can talk a little bit about myoglobin. But how does meat oxidize? And I guess if you can share that in layman's terms to our audience, how do you teach people that are not meat scientists how do you introduce them to the topic so it's not very overwhelming?
Sure. Again, that's a great point. The best way to explain, let's say if you cut an apple or if you cut a potato and keep it outside, it turns brown in color. And why it is turning brown in color is one of the basic reactions. It's called oxidation. Again, if you're not familiar with any oxidation or reduction, basically every matter consists of like proton, electron, neutron. So if you're losing one of the small minute component, it's gonna change the color. That's a fundamental facet. With respect to meat color, especially when you are live, animal or a human being, why we live? Because we can breathe. What is the function of breathing? When you breathe in through your nose, oxygen goes inside and it goes to the lungs. From the lungs, it goes to each and every cell. That's how we can respire. So when you have a cut, you get bleeding. Why? Because we have blood. Why we have blood? Because it can transport oxygen. But blood, it can transport oxygen in the blood vessel, but to the tissue, it's mainly by myoglobin. So in a living animal or a human being, why you breathe? Because of the myoglobin. But that myoglobin, when the animal is dead, that can give bright red color. So that's one thing Francisco just mentioned, a different color. There are different forms of myoglobin. For example, if it is bright red, means it can carry oxygen. Whereas if you don't have the oxygen or if it is stay for a long time, that's why sometimes when you buy meat in packet, you can see brown color. So that's one thing, it happened oxidation. So basically just losing one electron and also oxygen, it turns brown. Whereas when you cut a steak, I'm sure if you have a steak or if you buy a big piece of meat, but you cut the inside, you may see a dark color. It's primarily because inside there is no oxygen, especially when the animal is dead. So these are the three forms of myoglobin. Red, it gives oxymyoglobin. If it is brown, that's called the metmyoglobin. Whereas inside, deoxy. Deoxy means without oxygen. So it's really fascinating how a simple electron and oxygen binding can change the color and also consumer perception. So a lot of people think the red color of the meat, it's due to a dye. No, meat companies are not adding anything. It's naturally present in our body. Other misconception is a lot of people think red color is due to blood. No, I know. The reason why the people think it's red is blood, because people very familiar with the blood or hemoglobin. Let's say if you have less iron, people, doctors may say, take iron tablet or take, you need to have hemoglobin. So that's why people think the red color is hemoglobin, but there is a cousin, I would say, cousin of hemoglobin is myoglobin. And that's one gives color to meat. Easy way to remember, myo means muscle. That's one thing we eat. Globin means a globular protein, almost like a football.
The Niche Meat Processor Assistance Network, or NPAN, is a proud sponsor of the MeatsPad podcast.
So Dr. Ram, so our audience can get to know you a little bit better, would you share some of your experience that made you become the professional that you are right now? Some experience that really changed some of your perspectives?
With respect to something I learned during my career, I would say I was really fortunate to work with various segments of the industry. When I started, I did some antimartum inspection. I worked in the kiln floor, fab floor, and also the processing side. Once I became a faculty or grad student, I was able to know more about the quality side, what's happened from the research side. And also when I started Oklahoma State, I was able to interact with a lot of producers to know more about the management practice and nutrition. So one thing I can clearly say, all the steps we do or the day-to-day activity can influence the final product. End of the day, I feel very fortunate to be part of a big process where we produce high-quality, nutrient-dense animal protein.
Great. Now, there are a number of types of packaging. Please tell us a little bit about meat packaging and how packaging affects meat color.
Great question. Before answering that part, I will step one step back. Why we need to package, especially in some countries, they kill the animal, maybe in the you can buy it from the market. In that case, you don't have to worry about the packaging too much because you buy the meat and you may go home and cook it. Whereas in some place, especially export is oriented. If you want, I have a lot of meat exporting from Mexico to US, then you need to keep it for a longer time during shipping. Again, there are two types of shipping. Maybe you can freeze it and ship it. Sometimes you ship it as a fresh meat. So how to extend the shelf life? So if I'm sure irrespective of the meat, good old vegetable fruits, if you want to keep it for a long time, remove oxygen. If you have more oxygen, it goes bad. So that's a basic concept with the meat packaging. So there are two major packaging. One, you can remove oxygen. So in that case, we use called vacuum package. So vacuum means no air. And also, since you need to remove the oxygen, there should not be any transport of oxygen into it, and also water. So that type of packaging uses a very thick film. Those are called oxygen impermeable and also water impermeable. So that's called vacuum package. Second one, most common, you may see, especially in US, Canada, when people go to store and buy red colored meat. So those are called aerobic packaging. So PVC overwrap, polyvinyl chloride. So what's the beauty with that one? Because the oxygen is permeable, you can see a bright red color. But what is the downside? If you want to keep it for a longer time, you need to vacuum package. But if you want to see a bright red color, you can package in PVC. Of course, there are a couple other techniques or type of packaging you can use, but PVC and vacuum, those are the most common. What is the downside of the vacuum? Especially if people like that bright red color, you won't see it. Why? Because the red color is due to oxymyoglobin. Oxygen should bind it. Whereas in vacuum package, you are removing that oxygen. So basically it'll be deoxy and dark in color. Make sense, Francisco? So two packaging, vacuum and PVC.
Good. Thank you, Dr. Ram, for addressing that. Now let's continue with this conversation. Now we know that meat color plays an important role when it comes to consumer purchasing decisions. I know it's one of the first criteria for consumers when they're buying fresh meat. Please share a little bit about your thoughts in terms of the relationship between meat color and food safety.
Well, that's a great question, Francisco. So the color and safety has no relationship. You may see a bright red smiling steak or a ground beef patty, but that can be contaminated with a highly pathogenic E. coli or Listeria. So why it happens is most of the shelf life, we talked about the shelf life in the beginning, the shelf life of the ground beef in the store is almost 2 to 3 days. So since the shelf life is really short, most companies are really forced to ship it at the earliest after making the patties. But most of the testing takes more time. So what they do is they'll ship the patties or steak, then they do the testing. If you have one or two E. coli, it is not going to make the patties brown. So it may take some time to do the testing. Once the result came, then they can trace back and tell. And these lots are contaminated with some pathogen like E. coli or some other salmonella, then they can recall. So the consumers always keep in mind, like, the color of the meat has nothing to do with the safety. But on the other hand, there are two types of bacteria. One is called the pathogenic bacteria. Other one is called the spoilage bacteria. So pathogenic, you get sick, whereas spoilage, meat becomes slimy or smells bad. So if there is too much spoilage, definitely it may go bad because some of the bacteria can make it brown. So bottom line, bright red steak or a ground beef patty doesn't mean it's microbiologically safe. So that's why almost all federal agencies tell you need to cook the steak to a specific temperature time combination, which is a beef, pork, or chicken. There are different time temperature combination. Using a meat thermometer, that's the best way to make sure meat is safe. So don't use the visual perception. That's a psychology. When you see a really good apple, you may think, wow, it tastes yummy. If you see a really good steak, you may think it's safe. No, more one is a consumer perception, other one is talks about the real quality.
This is good. This is one of my favorite topics, Dr. Ram. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the steps for our audience, typically meat processors. How can they optimize shelf life?
Great question. We get this question every time. So if you want to maximize shelf life, so let's say if it is a microbiological, you talked about GMP or HACCP. So try to follow the guidelines. So sanitation, that's the most important one. So when you in any processing plant, make sure all the workers wash the hand, all the cutting table, they sanitize it really, really well. Before and after, make sure you use gloves, and also the safety of the people working the plant is also important. One aspect we didn't talk about or touch is how important is the antemortem inspection. So the quality start before slaughtering the animal. So every country, even in Mexico and all countries, you need to pass through the antemortem inspection. So that start with none of the animals, if it is sick, should not be slaughtered. I'm sure, especially in this COVID era, there are a lot of diseases that can be transmitted from animals to human being. That's called zoonotic. So you need to, that's the importance of antemortem inspection. So only the healthy animals are slaughtered and animal welfare. In some countries, it's getting more and more important. Welfare of the animal is important. And then during the slaughter step, that's because the quality is end product, but it's dependent upon a lot of factors before slaughter. One of the area we study a lot is the dark cutting beef. Sometimes when you slaughter animal, and the meat won't have that bright red color. It will be really dark red in color. And one of the reasons is the stress. So if you can avoid the stress before slaughter, then you can limit those incidents. And also, there are a lot of studies showing if the animal is too much stressed, more E. coli contamination can occur. So if you can remove the stress, then the slaughter stage, do the hygienic practice, avoid the contamination, because E. coli, Salmonella, all coming from the fecal matter. So if you can take care during the harvest step, you can limit it. Some countries use hot water wash, high pressure, or basic hygienic practice will help. Then, like that's one thing I told you, like hygiene, then sanitation, especially with the meat, lower temperature. That meat cutting room and the processing room should be a lower temperature. Lower temperature means less quality changes. Then you pack it immediately. Again, depending upon the scale, if it is a small scale and if you are intended for a long storage, you can vacuum package. You need to buy a vacuum packaging machine. I'm sure you can get that machine in almost all countries. And also the packaging film, you don't have to worry. There are different type of thickness. Again, that's very commonly available in most areas. So packaging, do it, then cool it. So the temperature is very, very critical. So if you can lower the temperature, the better. Again, if you have facility for freezing, freeze it, again, depending upon your market. If you want to ship as a raw meat, then pack it and keep it lower temperature. So the temperature is a very critical one. Then sanitation. I would say those are the two major things that can definitely impact quality.
Thank you, Dr. Ram. And then as a last question, what are some of your speculations on the future of the meat industry in terms of how we produce meat, maybe in 2040? What do you see us doing differently compared to what we're doing now?
No, that's a great question, Francisco. It's going to change drastically. One of the major change going to happen, I'm sure a lot of companies already invested a lot of money and they are seeing the change. It's a lab-grown meat. You may see a lot of cell-cultured meat. I don't think it's going to replace 100% of what we have, but that's going to change drastically, especially with the climate change, use of natural resources, and a lot of interest in that area. So that's going to reshape the meat industry too, because there are some interest or there are people interested in that area. The price has came down a lot. Years back, 1 pound of lab-grown meat, it was like $10,000, $20,000. Now it came down to $2,000, $3,000. So now it's scaling up. So technology gonna play a huge role, and also with respect to animal industry or meat industry, definitely more tracking system, more help, because there are a lot of concerns with the processed meat. So people become more and more aware, definitely it's gonna change.
All right, thank you again, Dr. Ram, for being here today. We'd like to remind our listeners to subscribe to www.meatspot.com to receive the new releases of our episodes. In addition to that, we're happy to announce in the following weeks, we are going to launch the Spanish version of the Meatspot podcast. We're very happy for that and have some community in Mexico, Central America, and South America, and also in Spain that listen to this podcast. So we're very proud of this. And thank you, folks, for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Stay tuned.